Off the Cuff is back, and we have a very special interview for this episode. It's definitely one you don't want to miss. Let's go ahead. Let's get into it. Roll the music. Welcome, everyone, to a very special episode of Off the Cuff. You guys know the name. It's me, Isaiah Hoffman. I'm joined with special guest from the Indy Star, Kyle Nedenrip. Kyle, how you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to have you. You know, I was told, Casher told me it was, you know, the interview was coming together, and, you know, I was busy getting ready for the basketball season and everything. So I kind of was like, oh, we'll see if it happens. And it got put together, and I was like, sweet. And then I know we were supposed to do it Friday. And then I was like, if we can get it in person, I'd love to get it in person. So I'm glad we got you in the studio to do the live interview. I mean, let's get to it. So before we even do, so you work for the Indy Star. What do you mainly cover, just for people that may not know you?
Yeah, I mean, I got here in 2008, so I've covered high school sports for going on my 14th year for the Indy Star. You know, I cover mostly football and basketball, but we do, we have people now, fortunately, we have a guy who covers girls sports predominantly at the high school level, which is great. And we have another guy who kind of pitches in, does wrestling and fills in with football. And so we've added more resources, you know, through our coverage. We've got, you know, you can kind of see now by the metrics of the subscriptions that we get that people care about high school sports here, which is awesome. You know, it's Indianapolis is a big hotbed for not only basketball, but football and other sports as well. So, I've been in this business for 21 years now total. And 14 at the Indy Star, so it's been a lot of fun. I'm blessed to be here.
So, do you only cover high school sports, or do you do some like professional or college, or is it just high school sports? And why high school sports? You know, you've covered it for most of the time there, correct?
Right.
So why stay in high school sports when you know you could probably, you know, go and cover college or go and cover professional? What makes you stick with high school?
Well, that's a good question. I get that, you know, people ask me that sometimes, like, why do you, you know, what makes you want to do high school sports? I have had opportunities to do college, and mostly college, but I'm able to cover some Pacers stuff, like, occasionally.
And we'll get into that.
Yeah, and that's fun. I really do enjoy NBA. It's probably my most favorite thing to watch, so I do enjoy that. You know, but I really feel like at the high school level, you get to know the kids when they're, you know, before they kind of become stars, or, you know, and some kids may not play at all beyond high school. So you're covering kind of the pinnacle for them. And I enjoyed the access to it. Very rarely do I go somewhere where they don't allow you to, you know, yeah, you can't do this or that, you know. So you kind of feel like you have access to the story you know, and it's your own story in a lot of cases. There's not a ton of competition at the high school. Now, there are more websites and stuff now that cover especially basketball and football than there used to be. But, you know, I personally enjoy covering high school sports more than anything. And 2 years and when I was in Missouri, I covered college, the college sports. I went to Missouri State, so I covered basketball and football there. I did enjoy that too, but I did notice, like, you'd have the sports information director sitting in on interviews with you. And, you know, it's just kind of, you know, you don't have that as much at the high school level. You're kind of given the – and I take that trust, with a great deal of responsibility too. If people – you know, I sometimes if a kid says something that I think is going to maybe, you know, get him in trouble or, you know, I'll try to, you know, make sure I ask him again or – you know, so you're not putting that kid in light where he hasn't been interviewed before and you're making him, you know, something that he doesn't really want to say. But I love, you know, to answer your question, it's something that I think I'm just kind of built for, and I enjoy covering high school sports.
Awesome. You know, it gave me my start. You know, I call the football games and basketball games. And, you know, let's go into it. Let's talk a little bit about high school football, and then we'll get into basketball and maybe a little bit of the Pacers, because, you know, we got some new news about them last week or about 2 weeks ago now. But looking at high school football, the first thing I think I want to ask you is, because I know there's a lot of opinions on it, out of your years of covering it, what is the best high school football team you've seen? I know, you know, there's a lot of good cases. You have the last two Center Grove teams, 2018 Warren, maybe a little biased on my side because I watched them win that state title at Lucas Oil. And then, you know, there's a lot of good teams. I think even, you know, I have family that lives in New Pal, and I remember when they went back to back. So, I mean, I love talking about those New Pal teams. So for you, you know, what's the team that was most fun to watch, but what team do you think was probably the best of all time?
Well, I got here right after the Warren teams won four in a row back in the mid-2000s. Okay. I know those teams are,
yeah.
You know, if you're over here on the east side, the 2006 team will – and then I think – they may be the best team of all time when you're really looking at the stats and the talent and everything. So put them aside. You know, I got here 2000, basically a season and a half after that.
Okay.
And so for in my time being here, I would say probably the 18 Warren team, which you mentioned, the 17 Ben Davis team with the year before
with
that.
Coach Kirshner.
Yep. And that was his last year there. And Warren played him tough. I think it was in the regional game, I think it was a touchdown game, and that Warren team basically came back the next year and became that 18 team that won state. And then these last two Center Grove teams, I think. I would put those, you know, if you want to make that a two-year run for Center Grove, I think that's maybe fair to say, you know, those two teams were relatively the same as far as their talent. Now, I will say, you know, from a standpoint of having tougher competition, I would say 17 and 18 were probably better years as 6A as a whole than these last 2 years have been. But Center Grove did have to get – Cathedral, in my opinion, was probably the next best team in the state. And they had to beat them twice and barely did. You know, both those games were really, really close.
And I think – when you – looking at the Center Grove teams that have won the last 2 years, it's almost like, you know, all the heartbreak they've dealt with. Like Taven, what he dealt with his first 2 years, you know, losing to Warren on the goal line in 2018. I feel like it was just a matter of time – before he won state, because he loses to Warren at the goal line, then loses to Carmel in state, and then he wins to. So it was almost like it was meant to happen these last 2 years. Now this year really took me by surprise, because going into this year, I thought the playing field was even. Because I'm only really know about Warren Central. I didn't really know about BD, how they were going to look, how Carmel was going to look. I knew Center Grove was going to be tough, but boy, did I not think they were going to be about the same team as last year. Do you think this Center Grove team was better than last year's, or where's your opinion on that? I know some people have said this team's a lot better, but then last year, I mean, they had Carson Steele, and Carson Steele's Carson Steele.
Right.
So
yeah,
where do you lie on that?
They weren't as good offensively, I would say. They weren't as explosive, I would
say. This year?
Okay. Than last year. I would say they might be a better team, though, because defensively, that defensive line was intact, and they added Carl Biddings, who came over from Brownsburg. But when you have a guy, Caden Curry, who's going to, you know, Ohio State, Alabama have offered him, and James Schott, who's going to Michigan State, as your two defensive ends, those guys were unblockable. You know, you couldn't double team both of them. So, you know, from a standpoint of dominating on the defensive line, and I think that position in football is maybe the most important as far as, you know, dominating a game if you have a really good one. So from a defensive standpoint, I'd say they were better. Offensively, maybe not quite as explosive necessarily, but because, as you mentioned, you know, Carson Steele, Mr. Football last year, had graduated. So, you know, and their receivers weren't quite as explosive, I would say. But at the same point, you have, Taven Jackson, who returned. He was really good all year, really. I mean, he was a very good quarterback for them. But, again, you know, it's hard to – I think the Mick – was a little bit down from where it was
in competition.
Yeah, 3-4 years ago as a whole, and they weren't challenged a lot. You know, Lawrence North did challenge them in the regional, made that a very tough game. But on the whole, I don't think it was probably as tough a competition as those Ben Davis and 17 with Reese Taylor and all that offense they had was an incredible team. And then you mentioned 18, of course, with that group with. You know, Elliott and Bell and George at quarterback. I mean, they were really good offensively as well.
How about D. Bell right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's taking over. He's taking it over. I'm excited. I'm wondering to see where he goes draft-wise. I don't know. I feel like the last I heard was mid-first round. Mm-hmm. I just don't know for sure. Do you have any info maybe on that?
Only probably what you've read. I mean, I kind of read stuff online too. And I remember watching him as a freshman and Jason West – pointing him out, and you know, who know, you know, you don't know. I didn't know David Bell at that point. I knew his name and he'd been good, you know, to start the year, but watching him even in practice, like watching how his hand eye coordination, anything thrown close to him, he would catch it. And that I remember that first impression I'll never forget was just like, this kid catches everything near him, you know. And he's not necessarily at that point was he the fastest or the most physical guy. I mean, he's still kind of skinny, you know, 15-year-old kid, but It's like this kid can catch anything close to him, and that was always the case. I mean, and he was so competitive. I mean, you saw that as the years went on in basketball too. But.
And it's the one thing I regret about. I'm a year from missing out on when the boys' basketball team went to state, and so did the girls when they won in the same year. I'm a year off that, but I was there my freshman year when the football team won state, and the only game I regret my freshman year because the only games I went to was the one against BD where they blew them out. And then this game when they went to state and D-Bell was hurt and Romier had to take most of the load. So I never really got to see D-Bell play at a high level because even at the football game against BD, I wasn't really watching it. I was walking around doing other stuff. So I wasn't in radio yet. I was taking the intro classes. So I wasn't at that point yet. Sophomore, junior. And now this year I've actually broadcasted the games, but we haven't seen a talent like D-Bell, you know, come around. You know, Joe Walker, people are giving the comparison, but I'm like, we gotta hold off on that. So let's move on to this current Warrior. Well, actually, hang on. I got to ask you a quick question. I don't know how much info you would know on this. New Pal won, what was it, 3 state titles in 4 years?
I believe that's right.
How can a team like New Pal winning that many state titles, like, what does it take for them to move from, like, 5A to 6A? Like, how do teams move out from, like, you know, 1A to 2A or 3A to 4A? Like, what's, like, do they have to win a certain number of state titles? Or, because I know they go off of, like, school capacity, but is there a way, like, school capacity doesn't matter, like, this team's just too good to stay in that place?
Right, I get that question a lot because it did change. It used to be, you know, solely enrollment. You know, you're top, now with 6 classes, top 32 teams are 6A. The next 34, I think, are 5A. And then they divvy up the rest of them by enrollment. And I think it's, you know, I can't remember how many schools are in each class exactly, but they split them evenly next 4 classes. So in the case of New Pal, you know, now they've added this tournament success factor. So if over a 2-year period, they do the cycle, you know, you start, you know, from I think this is 2013 or 14, they implemented this rule. If you win at a certain level, you have to get a certain number of points based on, you know, if you win a sectional, it's 1 point, regional 2, semi-state. So if you accumulate enough points, and I think it's 4 points total over a 2-year period, you bump up 1 class. And that's only your sport. Like that happens for New Pal football. They go up the next classification cycle for 2 years.
So how – oh, okay. So I'm trying to – so what – why? So why didn't they get to move? Because they won – so they didn't have enough points?
I would say, well, they are a 4A team by enrollment. Okay. So now
that makes sense, though.
Now they're playing 5A. And if you stay, if you win over the next 2-year period, say you're bumped up by whatever, however many points you accumulated, the next 2 years, if you win enough, you stay in that class. I can't remember the threshold number offhand. I think it's 3 points then. If you accumulate 3 points, you stay. If you don't get that level, you go back down to your previous enrollment.
Okay.
So, and now you could in say Cathedral in their case, and everything's screwy right now because the COVID number, I should say, didn't do their reclassification last year.
Okay.
Because COVID enrollment made it weird. You know,
kids were virtual and stuff.
So now in Cathedral's case, you know, let's say it's a normal cycle. They're actually a 4A school, but playing 5A. They've been bumped up.
Okay.
If they win enough, you know, they could go up to 6A for the next, which they've done that before, probably 6-7 years ago. They went up to 6A for 2 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Then dropped back down because they didn't win enough, so they went back to 5A. So, and you only bump down 1 class, you know, at a time. So, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of confusing, and every once in a while I try to write something to explain how it works and everything. But I like it because it doesn't bump up the whole school like say Cathedral basketball doesn't they're not winning or whatever. They don't have to move up. And that's a bad situation. That's a bad example because Cathedral's 4A in basketball anyway. But say like
it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean most of the major teams we play are in 4A, but it's like so if like the football team goes to like to 6A but their basketball team's 3A, they don't have to go to 4A just because the football team moved to the highest level.
And that's different than a lot of states do. A lot of states will just go by private schools. They do a multiplier.
Okay.
Like your normal enrollment, public school is just 1. In Missouri they do this, but for a private school it's like 1.35.
Mm-hmm.
So your actual enrollment's multiplied 1.35, and you just by that metric alone, all of your sports are bumped up probably at least 1 class. So No, that's I kind of like it here. It only affects your sport if you're having success.
Mm-hmm.
And in football, it's had a I think it's had a pretty decent impact in bumping schools up to different classes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm so into the like the moving of schools and all that, especially because, you know, I've never seen it as a, like as a kid, everything's always been like in place. Nothing's mm-hmm. ever moved. And in like the last few months, we've seen college football move with right. their conferences and everything else. Is there a possible high school conference realignment coming? Because I know I heard something about Carmel about wanting to move out of the MIC at some point. So do you know anything about that? Because, I mean, I'm really into that stuff, especially with Texas and USC and then Cincinnati, BYU, Houston, and all them going to the Big 12. It's just, is there a possible high school realignment? How would that work?
Well, that's a good question. That is happening. You know, I don't know if it's going to happen for sure, but uh-huh. I know Carmel and Center Grove, you know, there's some.
I didn't even know about Center Grove.
Yeah, Carmel and Center Grove, there's some inquiry into the HCC, which is, you know, Avon, HSC, Fishers, Zionsville, Westfield, that conference,
okay.
Which currently has eight teams. Now, what if, you know, let's say that happens, you know, to make it a 10-team conference, what does the MIC do? You know, that's.
I remember hearing when they made the MIC in, what was it, 2013, Tech was supposed to be in there, correct? So they would probably put Tech in there, but Tech comes out of the, what is it, North Central Conference?
They're in the North Central now. And the MIC goes all the way back to, you know, the original conference, I believe, was 96 or 7, you okay. know, in that range. But they did restructure the MIC when For Pike.
Six. Oh, because 6A debuted in 2013. I said MIC conference. I meant 6A
right.
debuted in 2013.
Right. But there was some movement because Pike and LC moved into the MIC. The Terre Haute schools were jettisoned out of the MIC because of travel issues and things like that. So they brought in from Conference Indiana, Pike and LC.
See, I didn't know. Stuff like that interests me when teams move conferences and stuff like that. That is interesting. So another thing I was wondering was, because I remember seeing something. I forgot who put it together. I think it was the Indy Star. They put together, like, what they would do for a conference realignment. And it was, like, Warren Central, Lawrence North, North Central. Like, they basically went from, like, north side, south side, east side, and west side. They just split them up like that. Is that how they would do it, or do you have a preference on how you would do it?
Conference-wise, I don't know. There was talk. This was probably, you know, when you mentioned Tech.
It was basically, like, four big, like, kind of like college football. Like, yeah. They want to just have certain power conferences. It would basically just be four power conferences sorting it from north, south, east, and west.
Yeah, that I think ideally you would have a metropolitan conference where these 6A football schools are playing each other and mm-hmm. the 4A basketball schools are playing each other. And, you know, I part of the issue with what's going on with Carmel and Center Grove is the sports that are kind of a tier down, you would say, as far as interest level from football and basketball mm-hmm. because of the competitiveness of the programs at some of those sports. And I think that's part of the reason what's driving this interest in the HCC. Also for Carmel, in their situation, probably travel, you know, they're pretty close to a lot of the Fishers and Westfields and Zionsville, Noblesville, places like that would be natural rivals for them. But, you know, I think what's, you know, to me, I would hate to see it happen just for the MIC, you know, because I don't know what the MIC would do. Then you'd have six teams. Would you bring, like you said, would you bring in Tech? Is it too hard to do that now at the North Central Conference? You know, you have to answer some of those questions. It would make sense for Tech, I think, if that was mm-hmm. Brought to their, you know,
maybe options. Westfield.
Well, yeah, Westfield's in the HCC though. Would they want to, you know, so you have
to. That's, well, to get away from Carmel and Center Grove, then.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if you're the HCC, do you want to bring those guys into you? Do you really want that? You know, is that
they would automatically be at the top? Where like with Texas and Oklahoma, they're going to the SEC. They're not going to be on the top
right
so quickly. And then, you know, we just covered football. Looking at high school basketball, that just got started. That just got underway. Cathedral just played Warren Central. Cathedral gets a big win. Are Cathedral the state favorites in your mind, or do you still like how Carmel looks? Where are you at with that? And then I still haven't really seen how Lawrence North looks. Of course, you know, I'm still a little PTSD on Warren Central and Lawrence North last year. Sean Black drives in, shoots it, hits the side iron, bounces out. I will never forget that game.
It was a good game. I mean, Warren played right up right with him. I mean, that was a good game. I thought, you know, I thought that shot was going in, to be honest with you.
I did too. When he got through the double, it was a semi-double team, but when he got through that double team and floated it in, I was like, we're going to the next round.
Yeah.
In any scenario, I feel like the ball would have bounced on the side iron and fallen in, but in that one case,
yeah.
it hits the side iron and bounces. It kind of reminds me of Gordon Hayward. Uh-huh. Butler shoots the half court. It hits the backboard, hits the front iron really hard. And in some cases, most cases it goes in, but in that case, it bounces out. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking. And after that game, I know Warren felt heartbroken about it. You know, it was,
especially because they hadn't beaten Lawrence North all year.
Right.
They almost beat them in county at Southport.
Yep.
And then I didn't call the game when they played them the other time, so I don't remember that one too well. I just know we didn't beat them. And then I was there for that game and calling that one, and it just
– Well, the game at Southport was very intense. So you probably – it was – weird because I think at that point we were still limited crowds and whatnot, so there wasn't a ton of people there, but it was very intense. And after watching that game, I was like, I think Warren can play with them and possibly beat them in the right, if they can get them in the right type of game. And they came close to it. But I, you know, we do a Fab 15 every week, or I do, and I was just did that this morning actually for the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done that for years, and I would say right now I have Cathedral number one.
Okay.
And I have number two. I have Carmel right now, number three. Two, I have Zionsville, which Zionsville's undefeated right now, and they're ranked in the state number one. I have them, in my own opinion, they're a notch below Cathedral, but, you know, that didn't mean anything at this point. But I would say, talent-wise, I would think Cathedral's the best team out there right now.
I said that going into the year. Like, when they had Carmel ranked at two to start off the year, I was like, I don't even know about it. And it's hard to doubt Carmel. It's hard to ever argue with Carmel, but this Cathedral team, I forgot who I was talking to. I think I was talking to someone at Cathedral about it. They've kept that same core of guys for the last, what, maybe 2 years? I don't really know that well. And it's kind of like with Center Grove. It's come to this point now where it's the same group of guys, and they've gone through a lot of heartbreaking losses to where it's like this year they put it all together. And I'd like to see Cathedral do it personally because, you know, Warren Central, Carmel, rivals. I want to see Carmel win.
You better not say that too loud around here. get in trouble.
Yeah. But I'd love to see Cathedral win. I mean, I was happy when their football team won state. It was cool to see Mount Vernon. I watched all the games on TV. It was cool to see Mount Vernon win their state title. So I'd like to see Cathedral win both boys basketball and then also win football. That would be pretty cool.
They are good. I mean, they're you know, they have point guard. You know, Tayshawn Comer's been – he's a four-year starter. So if you have a point guard who's been playing that long, he had third – I covered him twice already this year. They lost last Saturday to a team out of Cleveland who was, I think, ranked second in the state in Ohio.
Okay.
Really good. It was a close game. And then they beat the number two team in Kentucky this past Saturday, and Comer had 31. But they have five guys averaging double figures so far. They're very balanced, very good, very tall. You know, Xavier Booker's 6'11". So they've got everything. It's just, you know, they're not defending like they probably need to. But that's a pretty minor thing, I think, right now. I mean, I wouldn't – the way they can score, and they're capable of defending pretty well. So, to me, they're the best, most talented team. They haven't won a sectional game, though, since Jason Delaney got there, which, you know, that's been 6 years now. So that's kind of the next – step for them.
The one team I'm going to keep my eye out on, especially come playoff time, is Tech. They looked, and granted, you know, with this Warren Central team, I've just said it, they're just so inexperienced.
Yeah.
You only have Tay and Chandler back. They're so inexperienced, but Tech really caught my eye with the group of guys they have. They can all score. The big man can score. I mean, I really think Tech, at the, like, how they had them ranked, they had Warren Central ranked so high, which I didn't even think they should have been that high just because they only have two guys coming back that played notable minutes last year. Where Tech, I mean, they mopped the floor with Warren Central.
They did.
Like, Tech looks, I only seen them for that game. I haven't kept up with them since, but they look like that's a team that could sneak their way into a regional, a semi-state, because that team, Reggie Bass, I mean, he doesn't score, but he controls the floor. And I think that's the other thing with Comer. He can score if he needs to, and so can Bass. But they can also run the floor for their teams. I think Tech's a real sleeper team people are going to have to look out for.
I agree. It's one of those things, like, if you want to run with them, you're probably going to lose. You know, if you're going to play up and down, they're probably going to beat you. Now, they went up to Anderson this week and lost. Anderson played a 2-3 zone. The next night, they go to Brownsburg and lose again. Brownsburg played a 1-3-1 on them and made it hard for them to, you know, to get up and down. And both those teams controlled the tempo on them a little bit, kept them. I think against Brownsburg, they only scored 55 points. So that was kind of my question, is if you slow them down, are they going to be able to still, you know, score like they did against Warren?
And that was the problem with the Warren Central team last year. They could score on the fast break and fast pace offense, but when it slowed down, they just couldn't seem to score.
Yeah, and that so that's a question for Tech, and I'm going to watch them play. They play Cathedral on Saturday at home, and that's going to be awesome. It's Delaney, who coaches at Cathedral, he won state with Tech and Trey Lyles and those guys back in 2014. So he's there's a lot of and it's a potential city game down in the city tournament, and obviously the same sectional and that sectional 10 that's always so good. So. It'll be a ramped up environment, I think.
And it's at Cathedral, and we were just at Cathedral. Like, I was calling the game. They have possibly the best student section I've ever seen for a high school. Like, it was like a college student section. Right. Like they had someone crowd surfing. Like,
the really?
Students, at that Warren game on what was it, Friday? Yeah, Friday. So I mean, all props to Cathedral. I hope they do well this year for boys basketball. Keeping on the topic with basketball, we got a couple more minutes here. The Indiana Pacers looking to rebuild. I know, you're a high school analyst, but you still keep up with it. Real fast, before we get into the Pacers, I need favorite NFL team, favorite college football team, favorite NBA team, and then favorite college basketball team.
My favorite NFL team plays tonight. It's the Los Angeles Rams.
And
right. I don't know. I was a kid. I was 7 years old, and I liked their helmets, and I stayed with them ever since. I've always liked the Rams.
You may not like me, but I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay,
so.
Well, they were, they played some playoff games back in the day. but, yeah, the Rams have always been, and they won. They moved from L.A. to St. Louis, back to L.A., but I've hung with them, and so that's my favorite NBA team or NFL team. And they're going to try to beat the Cardinals tonight, hopefully.
We'll see.
I don't know if they can without Robert Woods. But and I like the Colts, too, because living here and following them. And I enjoy. So both those teams are teams I like following. You said NBA.
College football. I don't have one. When I was little, I was a good – I liked Florida. But, for college, I like Alabama. I really don't dislike Alabama. I was hoping – they'd lose so Cincinnati don't have to play them, because I'd like to see Cincinnati make more history than they've already made.
Yeah.
But I really don't have a college football team. I just kind of, I kind of look at who's playing and who I like that year and kind of just go off that. Like, I like Bama, Michigan, they're overrated. I think they're losing to Georgia, but we'll see. And then I like rooting for the underdog, so I like Cincinnati this year.
I always root for the Big Ten. Like, whoever comes, Ohio State, like, if they make the playoffs, I'm always rooting for Ohio State. Notre Dame is, I think, is in that realm, too, and when they make it.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been to I'd like to go to a Notre Dame game sometime just to see the
atmosphere. The atmosphere, yeah.
And the new coach there seems really like a good dude. Players seem to love him. So
college football is wild right now.
It is.
Coaching switches.
Yeah.
Like, the Lincoln Riley news had me shocked, but at the same time, I was just kind of like, well, okay, we'll see what Oklahoma does. And they got Brent Venables, which I think he's going to be good. College football is just off the charts. And then all the transfer portals, I'm so glad to see the transfer portal actually doing its job. Like the quarterback that was at Ohio State, who just transferred to Texas, the five-star there. I think that's so interesting how he only played two snaps.
Yeah.
He got money
because
of the NIL deals, and then he's able to transfer. Like, that, the power of the transfer portal, it's starting to show how powerful it's going to be, but I don't think people are still realizing that the players really have a lot of control now, because at first the coaches, they can just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now the players can just leave, which I think is awesome.
Well, I don't think people realized or maybe anticipated, like, that quarterback you mentioned, Ewers, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm.
Him getting that NIL deal coming out of high school is something I think people thought it'd be the players who had already done something at the college level would be getting, more of that NIL money and stuff like that. Well, he comes in and he gets, it's kind of part of the recruiting pitch now.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a big time quarterback, and Texas is doing this with their offensive line. They're like, I think they've guaranteed $50,000 for each of the offensive linemen. So, man, what a benefit that is to be able to go into a recruit's house and say, hey, here's what we can offer you. So it's these guys coming out of high school who are getting the money, not necessarily the guys who have been there.
So do you like that they're making money? I know a lot of people don't like it. I know a lot of people are like, well, now it's like, because most people like college sports because they're like, oh, it's more passionate, Whereas the NFL guys, they're going to get a check either way. Do you like that they're getting paid, or how do you feel on that? I know for me, I like it personally because we're going to get college football video games back. But also, I also like it because, the players are on television. They're big stars. Some of them, they're stars for the whole time they're there, and they're stars right before they go to the draft. Like Trevor Lawrence, Zion would have made so much money. Now he's hurt all the time. Like, I like that they're doing it because they're always on TV. They make, like, college football makes so much. It's cruel how the NCAA is. So I'm glad the kids are actually getting money for being featured all the time.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's maybe some unintended consequences with this that need to be hammered out in the next few years. You know,
just got to smooth out the yeah.
But I think, you know, it's stupid. These coaches are making all this money and the players are making nothing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I do like it. I just think that maybe there's some, I don't know if it's a salary cap or something needs to be put in place. I think so. You know, because I think the rich are only going to get richer. And so, like this Texas offensive line deal, it's like, man, you know, how can you compete with that? You know, it doesn't seem now. It's kind of up to your boosters and how you know those are advantages these bigger schools have. But you know, you don't want it to be totally the haves and have-nots. I think. I mean, there needs to be some sort of level playing field. But I think it's been a long time coming for the players to be able to get something out of this financially. And you only have, if you're a football player, your lifespan as a player is not that long. So they should be able to capitalize on, you know, making money off of off their talent.
Especially if they get hurt.
Exactly.
And then they can't go to the league. I mean, at least they get some sort of money.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's only fair. And I think it's a good, in the big scheme, I think it's a good thing. I just think there's probably some unintended things that have come up that probably need to be figured out.
And then real quick, NBA and college basketball.
NBA, I'm more of a, right now, I kind of bounce from team to team. Right now, I'm a big Damian Lillard fan. I think partly because my son, like, my oldest son loves LeBron, and
I'm a Lakers fan, but not because of LeBron. I was little. It's a funny story. I was little 2009 finals when it was, not 2009.
Celtics. 2000,
Celtics and Lakers. Yeah. And I was just little. I was like, whoever wins this finals, that's what I'm going to pick. And I picked the Lakers. And I've stuck with them ever since, through the Lonzo Ball days, through the horrible lineup days, to now the lineup where we should trade Westbrook.
Well, how old I am, I grew up a Lakers fan. I was Magic Johnson was my guy. And then when Jordan came along, I didn't like Jordan at first because he beat Magic in the 91 finals. And then I kind of came around and I was like, all right, MJ's better than anybody on the planet. So
yeah.
I became a Jordan fan eventually, but... but I was a Lakers fan. I've been a Knicks fan at times.
Okay.
You know, I do like LeBron as a player.
I don't hate him. I mean, people hate him. I'm just like, he's good.
He's good. He's very good. He's awesome. He's great. And he's done a lot with his life that, you know, can't be, you know, you can't knock what the guy's done. And so my son being a Lakers fan, I kind of went the other way and went with Portland, and they're not, you know, I love watching Damian Lillard play. He's my favorite player right now, but I don't necessarily have a team necessarily in NBA.
Okay. College basketball, is it the same thing?
Sort of. I mean, I kind of like the Big Ten. Like, right, I've covered a lot of the kids who play at Purdue and you know, some of the ones at IU too, like the in-state guys. So I kind of just root for players that I've covered and whatever teams they're – like when Kyle Guy was at Virginia,
okay.
I was hoping – not necessarily they beat Purdue, which they did in the tournament, but that was a great game. So, yeah, I kind of follow – even Kentucky, like when Trey Lyles was there, you know, I'd follow them and keep up with them. Xavier's had a lot of players like Trayvon Blewett, and so
I'm mostly a Butler fan.
Okay,
I've always liked Butler.
Yeah,
and I think that is going to do it, Kyle. Thank you for joining me.
No
we
problem.
Didn't get to the Pacers news, but we're kind of out on time there. Thank you for joining me, and thank you guys for listening to this interview. Make sure you guys do check out our NFL prediction series, where we will be coming back. We should have an episode soon about that with me, Aiden, and Nakori. And we will catch you guys for the next episode of Off the Cuff.